7. Crag House, City of Velena, Earldom of Craggy Hill, Princedom of Coruscant. Bishop Executor Thomas Schiller looked up from his conversation with Marak Holland as someone rapped sharply on the chamber door. Despite the fact that he knew, intellectually, that he was perfectly safe here in his Crag House office, a spasm of alarm flashed through him. There were no scheduled visitors or conferences this morning, and for a hunted fugitive, especially a fugitive bishop executor whose intendant had been impiously murdered, unexpected translated itself into threatening.
"Oh, don't be silly, Thomas," he scolded himself. "I doubt armed minions of the Regency Council or the Church of Caris could break this far into an earl's townhouse without at least some alarm preceding them. For that matter, I tend to doubt the present authorities would knock politely once they got this far. They didn't bother to knock on Adrian's door, at any rate."
His face tightened briefly at the thought. Then he cleared his throat.
"Enter,"
he called, and the Earl of Craggy Hill stepped through the door.
"Good morning, my lord."
Schiller heard the surprise in his own voice.
"I didn't expect to see you this morning."
"I didn't expect to be here, Your Eminence."
Something in Craggy Hill's manner, something glittering in his brown eyes, brought Schiller a bit more upright in his chair. He glanced quickly at Holland, catching a glimpse of an echoing speculative curiosity in his secretary's expression, then returned his full attention to Craggy Hill.
"May I ask what changed your plans then, my lord?"
the bishop executor inquired, gesturing at the comfortable armchair before his desk as he spoke.
"You most certainly may, Your Eminence."
Craggy Hill flashed a brief, tight smile before he settled into the armchair. Holland started to rise, but the Earl waved him back into his own chair.
"Stay, father," the nobleman said. "I'm sure you and His Eminence will be preparing quite a bit of correspondence in the next few 5 days, so you might as well hear my news now."
"Of course, my lord," Holland murmured.
The secretary sat back down after glancing at his superior for confirmation, and Craggy Hill returned his full attention to Schiller.
"I realize the reports from Manchir have been fairly disappointing ever since Stainer arrived in the Princedom, Your Eminence," he said then,
which Schiller reflected was one of the best examples of understatement he'd heard in the last several years. Calling the semaphore summaries from Manchir fairly disappointing was about the same as calling Carter's Ocean fairly deep. It was obvious, however little the bishop executor cared to admit it, that not simply the city of Manchir but the entire duchy was largely lost. Adrian's order for Huskin's execution had backfired badly. Schiller was astounded that the fully justified death of a single apostate priest could have spawned such seething anger and outrage. It was as if the citizens of Manchir had deliberately chosen not to understand the depravity of Hoskins' attack upon Mother Church. As if they'd actually sympathized with him, simply because he was capable of occasional bursts of eloquence in the service of God's enemies. Yet it would have been foolish to underestimate the strength of that furious anger, or the severity of its consequences. Stainer certainly hadn't. His very first sermon from the stolen pulpit of Manchir Cathedral had capitalized upon that anger, as he'd set forth his attempts to justify his own betrayal of Mother Church and the creation of the Church of Caris. Nothing could possibly justify such an abortion, yet angry minds were not reasonable ones, and Stainer's sermons had fallen upon fertile ground. Even many of those who continued to bitterly resent the Empire of Caris were weakening in their opposition to the Church of Caris. For that matter, any residual anger in the capital over the fashion in which Adrian Wyman and the other slain priests had been martyred was increasingly directed towards the secular authorities rather than Stainer or Gerling. Any idiot ought to recognize that neither the Regency Council nor Viceroy General Churman would have dared act in such a fashion except at the direct orders of the church to which they had given their allegiance. Yet a dangerous degree of separation between the Carisian church and the Carisian crown had crept into the minds of all too many, and Stainer's other sermons, with their emphasis on freedom of conscience, their renunciation of the question and the punishment of Schuller, their specific guarantees that temple loyalists who abided by the law might continue to worship using the liturgy and even the priests they chose, had won him still more support. Even worse, perhaps, it was winning him toleration, even among those who thought they were remaining loyal to Mother Church. There were reports that even many of the temple loyalists had come to respect him, even if grudgingly, for his integrity. That erosion of faith was what most worried Schiller, yet he knew his secular allies, like Craggy Hill, were just as worried by the fact that despite the separation some still drew between empire and church, the acceptance of the Church of Carus was slowly but steadily eroding resistance to the empire as well. Primary loyalty to Prince Divan clearly remained high. Many Coruscandians continued to distinguish between their exiled prince and the Regency Council acting in his name, and the people of Coruscant were a long, long way from forgiving Caleb for Prince Hector's murder. Yet there was a vast difference between rejecting the current regime's legitimacy and actively resisting it. That was where the overflow of the creeping acceptance of the Church of Carus was gradually eating away at the foundations of the resistance's secular support.